All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here to dig a little deeper with you again in 1 John chapter 2, picking up with verse 7 this week as we continue this idea not only of walking in the light and life of Christ, knowing that He is our advocate, but this week realizing that there is, as Solomon says, nothing new under the sun. That when John gives out the commandment here, it's nothing different than what we have had from the very beginning. So we're going to look at verses 7 to 17 this week. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So far our text. All right, old commandment, new commandment, because it's seen again as being renewed in Christ in his death and resurrection. So he's writing no new commandment because we have been told from the very beginning to love one another. I mean, that was part of the requirements for Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You cannot be fruitful if there is not love. You can multiply without it, but being fruitful, having great seed and great pride in the seed that you have, does not happen without love. But again, there are some who say they walk in the light, but they hate their brothers, they hate their sisters. Why? Something has happened. Some sin has happened one way or the other. Either they have committed a sin against their brother that the brother is not being very forgiving of, or the brother or sister has sinned against them and they are not forgiving them and not holding them accountable even after forgiving them, which is a completely different thing. But we have this idea again of light and darkness. Andreas says in the 6th century, how can someone say that he belongs to Christ and at the same time hate his brother for whom Christ died? For if someone says he belongs to God and yet hates Christ, who has become our brother by becoming man, he is not of God but of the devil. For if he were of God, he would love the brother who had been sent to him and anointed by grace. We think of this in just plain earthly terms here. But isn't it true also that you have many people who want to claim to be Christians but really want nothing to do with Jesus? Kind of doesn't really work that way. The people who want to be especially spiritual but not religious, that want to take the ideas and try to just live that way, kind of following Plato and Aristotle in their ethics, but not really wanting to get down to the nitty-gritty of being among human beings. The Venerable Bede says, the person who loves his brother puts up with everything for the sake of unity. Such an attitude keeps us from hurting anyone unduly. No, we don't desire to hurt anyone. We don't desire to be in conflict with each other. We want all of it to be resolved. We want to have that great unity in the spirit. And yet, sometimes we have to put up with things. Things that we don't like. Things that we find irritating. Not that they are in and of themselves wrong. That they are in and of themselves sinful. We just don't like them. And it's not our personal preference. Which personal preferences have a place in our lives, but it is not the basis for our unity. Our unity is in Christ. Theophylact in the 7th century reminds us, even the Gentiles have always accepted the law or command which appears to derive from nature, that we should do good to those who are of the same nature as we are. The reason for this is that a man is a rational and social animal who cannot exist without mutual love. Ancient tales even relate that there were many people who were prepared to sacrifice themselves on behalf of others. And the Savior himself calls this the highest form of love. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Theophylact reminds us that, yeah, the Gentiles accept the law because the law is rational. The law makes sense, or at least it should make sense, as it derives from nature. There is kind of this understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And everybody seems to have it. And there is really no one who ever thrives by being alone. We may like to have those times of quiet reflection where we can be alone, especially those of us who are naturally introverts. We want to have those times where we can just be by ourselves because we have peopled too much for the day. And yet, we can't stay forever without the other people. We like to have the other people around us because we are social creatures. We are those who were wired to have people in our lives. And God starts that out in the family, with our parents, with our siblings, whether we are blessed or cursed with them. That's completely up to the family unit. But we have this notion that we cannot really survive and thrive without other people, without that mutual love from giving to and receiving from somebody else. It just, life is not working that way. Verse 11, John says, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and he does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We look back to the Gospel of John in chapter 1, and we see the same thing again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, but people enjoy the darkness more than the light because the light shows their flaws. You can hide in the dark, because everybody's blinded by the dark. This is one of the reasons why hell is considered that lake of fire, but is also that outer darkness. That yes, there's the fire, but even the fire does not cast light. And this is where we don't want to be. We don't want to be in that place. Caesarius of Arles, who comes a little bit before Hilary, says, if a man hates his brother, he walks in darkness and does not know where he is going. In his ignorance, he goes down to hell. And in his blindness, he is thrown headlong into punishment because he withdraws from the light of Christ. We seek to walk in the darkness through our sins because the darkness is comfortable for time. We then also find ourselves trapped by that same darkness that was so comfortable moments before. And yet Jesus calls us to walk in the light, to walk in the light that is always warm and inviting. Yes, it may point out our sins, but it points out our sins so that we may repent, that we may receive the forgiveness that he came to bring us. And so John spends verses 12, 13, and 14 writing to different groups of people, different stages of life. The little children, recognizing in them that their sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. Writing to the fathers, because they know who is the one from the beginning, because he is the Father. writing to you young men, because you have overcome the evil one. You have overcome through Christ. Writes to the children, because they know the Father. They know the one who they come to, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And again, he reminds us that all these things point us to the things that are otherworldly, that are not things that are natural in this fallen world. He points us to go after the things that are above. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father, who wants us to be with him, is not in him. For all that is in the world, John says in verse 16, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the lust either of the body or of the eyes, comes not from God. It comes from ourselves, our fallen world. It comes from the influences of the devil. But more than anything else, the devil influences us in the pride of life. Look what I have done. And yes, it is a great thing that I can come on once in a while on the Facebook page or on my own personal page as I'm promoting this podcast to say, look what I have done. I have put out so many episodes. I have done studies on so many books of the Bible. Come listen to them. But I also know that there are other podcasts out there that have my total number of downloads on a daily basis. Yes, it's humbling. But you know, the devil could say, well, no, you need to do this or that or the other to get your numbers up. You know, you need to strive after looking after more numbers, more people. And yes, as I said last week, joy is there because of people coming into the church, coming into new subscribers to the podcast and all of this. But that's not the purpose of this podcast, to bolster myself. The purpose of this podcast is to equip you, to strengthen you through the studies, through the devotions, through all the things that we have on this podcast that I share with you, not to boost myself up, to give me something to be proud of, which I am joyfully proud of this podcast and the reach that it has had, but not in a way that, you know, I want to say, look at me. I simply say, here is what I've done. Here is, you know, take it or leave it. And, you know, I pray that it does strengthen you. It does help you. Because all of that, the pride of life, the desires of the flesh and the eyes, it's all going away. It's all going to be gone when Jesus comes back. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. We'll end with the words of Venerable Bede this week, which I have found over the study of Revelation and Colossians, Philemon, and now the epistles of John. Bede to be one of my favorite church fathers. So we will hear a lot more from him. The world will pass away on the day of judgment, when it will be transformed by fire into something better. For then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The lust of the world will also disappear, because there will be no place for it in the new creation. But the person who does God's will does not have to worry about this, because the things which he desires are heavenly and eternal, so that they do not and cannot change, whatever happens to this world. The desires of the Christian is not for the here and now, the material. It is for the then and there and the eternal. Yes, we can have good things now. We can rejoice in what God has given us now, but this we know is not the end. This we know is not the idea of he who dies with the most toys wins. The one who dies in Christ is the one who lives forever. And that is why we wrestle. That is why we struggle with the theologies around us, wanting to make sure that we are, first and foremost, living for Christ, striving to abide in Him and in His light. That is the reason this podcast exists, is to help you to wrestle with the theologies, to see the darkness that is there, and to cast the light of Christ into your life. And I pray that this podcast and every one of the episodes has done that for you. Amen.